Focus on the Community brought to you this morning by First Federal Savings Bank on Highway 57 South in Washington. I'm Dwayne Shake, and this week we are going to focus on an important topic to our community, and let's face it, it's the topic on everyone's minds. It's the outbreak of the dreaded flu virus, and our guest is Jennifer Butler from Davies Community Hospital. Jennifer, thanks so much for taking time to spend with us this morning and tell us all about how to prevent this from hitting our homes.
Thanks, Dwayne. I'm glad to be here to share important information with the community in regards to the flu.
Well, even at DCH, it's been released now, and not just DCH, all area hospitals, they've kind of put it, if you feel weak and wheezy, you're not to go to hospitals, right?
Well, the best thing is, if you feel weak or if you have any flu symptoms, you definitely need to seek medical attention.
Right, but
We do have walk-in clinics that are available. Quick care clinic that's out in the Walmart parking lot on Highway 57, and they see a high volume of patients, and recently they have had a significant uptick in patients with the flu virus.
Isn't it this time of year? I mean, we're into a deep February now, almost the month of March. Is this really the time when you start to see it a lot?
Well, the first part of the year is definitely the high season or the high time for the flu virus. Right now, our flu volumes are not as they were last year, but they're definitely higher than they were in the fall. Typically, what we're seeing is a lot of influenza A, which is the stronger, so to speak, strain of the virus. But the most important thing that we need to think about is how to prevent the flu. And the best way to do that is to immunize. And it's not too late.
That's the key. You know, the flu shot is what we're talking about now. And basically, you've got people that absolutely swear by it, do it every single year. And then you've got the other side of the spectrum that says, no, not for me, no way. Every time I get it, I get sick immediately. So dispel that rumor, I guess, first and foremost.
Well, the flu vaccine that we provide in the clinics is a shot. It's not a live virus. So basically, it doesn't actually have the potential to make you sick. There is sometimes some soreness or some redness at the site of the injection, but that's minimal when you actually consider what the flu can do to you as and your body as a whole. What we've seen in our research just through Davies Community Hospital and our cases of flu is most of the time the patients that are testing positive for the flu have not been immunized. I'm not saying that there aren't some that have been immunized that actually do get the flu, but a great majority have not had their flu shot this year. So that's still, according to CDC recommendations, that's one of the first and best things that you should do.
And it is readily available, of course, at the hospital and many clinics and even some pharmacies provide that as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're most of the pharmacies, they provide that vaccine. We do that through the clinics through the end of March. So it's definitely not too late.
Now, we're talking about the influenza A there. Is this the one that is the cough, the congestion, the weakness,
right.
I guess.
Cough, congestion, fever, those are symptoms of influenza A and influenza B. It's a basic respiratory type illness, and it's definitely manifests itself with, you know, first symptoms are fever, cough, you know, congestion, things like that.
Now, I will tell you, Jennifer, I've come full circle when it comes to getting this bug or this flu, because I used to be one of those tough guys that said, it'll eventually get out of the system, you know, it'll disappear. I just got to tough this out. Truth of the matter is, nowadays, when I start to feel it coming on, I'm straight to the doctor and I'm straight to, hey, give me whatever it takes to get this thing gone.
Right. And one of the important things to remember is the flu is a virus. So antibiotics are not going to help you get over the flu, but there are antiviral medications that can help reduce the length of the symptoms that you may be experiencing with the flu. You know, the most important things that you can do definitely other than immunization is make sure that you are staying home if you start to develop any flu type symptoms, cough, congestion, fever, sore throat, things like that. and increase your fluid intake and also eat nutritiously. And one of the biggest things as well is wash your hands. Alcohol-based hand rubs as well as soap and water hand washing are both effective at helping to prevent the spread of the flu.
That is key. That is crucial. And such a simple thing to do to prevent it from spreading to the next level. You know, take the time to wash those hands. And a lot of people carry the little antibacterial lotion, the gel with them. As they go about their day.
And that's perfect. And a lot of the local retailers that have shopping carts, they'll have the cleaning wipes. You know, be diligent about utilizing those cleaning wipes on your carts before you're going in to get your groceries or whatever shopping that you're doing. That can also be extremely helpful.
Because your hands, let's face it, you rub them on your face all the time and are different things. You know, I'm guilty of rubbing my nose sometimes. You can spread it so easy. And then we shake someone else's hand, boom, you passed it right on.
Right. I am definitely an advocate of fist bumps. That definitely is the way to go, in my opinion.
The fist bump. We're talking to Jennifer Butler today from Davies Community Hospital, how to prevent the flu virus from hitting your home. Let's face it, though, when it gets there, Jennifer, you just want to put yellow tape around your home and quarantine the place, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the heroes in the flu game are those people that acknowledge that they have the flu and stay home to prevent passing that flu to others.
That's the key. If you do have the symptoms, don't pass them on. Nobody wants that. And your boss will actually be thankful that you called in so you don't take down the rest of the staff.
That is absolutely correct.
Again, preventing the flu is our topic today. We're talking about the influenza A and B at the moment. But another one that we're hearing a lot about, Jennifer, is the stomach bug. This one is the one that seems to really be bothering people as of late. I hear so many getting this. And this used to be just like a 24-hour thing. But summer and more reports I'm hearing about this, it's kicking for 2 or 3 days anymore sometimes.
We are seeing an increase in the norovirus, which is your typical, the most prominent GI bug that you can have that causes abdominal cramping, diarrhea, and, you know, just feelings of weakness and just overall sickness. Typically, you'll see that those symptoms do last anywhere from 24 to 48 hours. But the key there as well is making sure that you're doing excellent hand hygiene with soap and water wash or alcohol-based hand rub. Make sure that you stay out of public places if you do have any type of GI upset or diarrhea, and make sure that you're having lots of fluid intake. It's easy to get dehydrated if you don't have an adequate fluid intake.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about this one because it's sometimes mistaken for maybe you ate something bad and you just got a food interaction or whatever. Sometimes people think they just ate something that didn't agree with them. Is there a way to really detect the difference in those two if you've got the actual bug or you've just got ate something that was not right?
Well, we have a specific gastrointestinal panel that we do in our lab that can identify any most of the germs in the body that have this diarrhea. We can detect norovirus. We can detect any of the other types of infections like C. diff, Campylobacter, or any of those other stomach bugs. The thing that you need to do is, again, make sure that if you do have a stomach bug, make sure that if it gets to a point to where it doesn't resolve in a timely manner, get to your doctor, let them evaluate you. They can always refer you to the Davies Community Hospital with to have a GI panel, and we can be there to help you and teach you exactly what you've got going on and identify whatever pathogens causing the problem.
I want to keep this clean, you know, on a Saturday morning, but what we're talking about here, as delicate as possible, we're talking both ends, right? Sometimes, a lot of
absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely. You know, the flu that we actually vaccinate for seasonally is the respiratory flu. That's influenza A and influenza B. That's the flu bug that causes you to develop respiratory symptoms, cough, fever, just generalized weakness and sickness. The other types of virus, norovirus, Campylobacter, different intestinal bugs, definitely are eliminated through the bowels.
Now, is this norovirus we're talking about, is it more contagious than the influenza A and B, or is there such a thing? Are they the same? It just seems like the norovirus, when it hits, it spreads like wildfire, even quicker sometimes.
Actually, the flu virus that you vaccinate for, influenza A and influenza B, that's spread by what we call droplet, which means if you cough, that goes through the air and can contaminate or can infect other people. The norovirus or any of the other GI bugs, basically you have to come in contact with a surface or a person that is that has that sickness. So although, you know, they're both can be contracted by coming in contact with it on a surface, influenza A and B that causes the respiratory is typically through droplet, and the other is through coming in contact with a surface that may have been contaminated with hands from going to the bathroom and then not doing good hand hygiene, and then touching a surface and then someone else coming behind and also touching that surface.
Well, that's a good point. So you get it finally out of the house and out of the system. But you forget to wash down everything,
clean,
wash the sheets, clear the sheets, and wipe off all the counters. Mm-hmm. It can be right back. Is that correct?
That's definitely correct. You know, it's really important that, you know, when you have someone in your household that's ill, of course, you kind of restrict them to a certain area of the house, basically. You know, if they can have a specific area where they can keep their germs to themselves, that would be good. Otherwise, your basic Clorox wipes and things like that, disinfectants, will get rid of the germs that are on your surfaces.
So let's go to that. You mentioned the Clorox wipes, absolutely a good one. Mm-hmm. Lysol seems to be the end-all, be-all. You know, everybody that's listening right now this morning probably has that can of Lysol close by. We have one here in the radio station.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Clorox wipes. The Lysol, is it?
Lysol is an excellent product. But, you know, it's really important to remember to wipe down your surfaces, you know, because a lot of these things don't stay in the air. You spray the Lysol, and then it's important to wipe behind it so that you're clearing off those surfaces.
And when we're talking about containing them to a limited number of rooms, let's face it, one of the rooms you want to contain them to is close by the bathroom.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they're gonna spend a little time in there.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
We're talking to Jennifer Butler today, again, with Davies Community Hospital. Great information on how to prevent your household from contacting the flu bug this time of year, as it continues to be the talk on everyone's mind, and it has affected every single one of us listening already more than once. How about children, little children versus adults, kids going to school? It seems like, you know, school, they got to go to school and learn and all that, but that seems to be where it can start too. So if you've got a student that is fighting the bug, do not send them to school.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of those important mom and dad things to do is, you know, take your cues from your child. If your child has diarrhea or if your child doesn't feel well, you know, make sure that you check them out thoroughly before you send them off to school. Sometimes you can be infectious with the flu bug before you actually have those signs and symptoms of fever and cough and so forth. So keep an eye on your children. They're especially prone to contracting these viruses. Make sure that you immunize all your children. That's extremely important.
And let's face it, they can spread it a little easier than adults, right?
Well, little kids are not as diligent about hand washing. They're definitely touchers. They touch lots of different surfaces and each other and toys and games and pencils and pens. So, you know, definitely if we can encourage them to wash their hands or at least have some hand sanitizer available, that's going to go a long way.
These are all great tips this morning on how to prevent the flu from affecting your household. Again, it happens. It's just Murphy's Law. You're going to have it at some point in time. You just got to face the facts as we know it. But hopefully, by doing some of these things that we're sharing with you this morning, it will make your process not so bad along the way. You know, I have coughed so much with that bug at one time that you actually feel tightness in your ribs. I mean, your whole body aches from this.
Yes, it does. And that's one of the bad things about the flu, is that it definitely will give you generalized body aches and pains. So that's one of the symptoms of the flu, definitely.
And then the nasal congestion stuff, sometimes people think that's just allergies. Again, it's another one of those things where sometimes you can't always tell which it is.
It's hard. It's really hard to tell. But there again, that's why we have walk-in clinics available. You've got primary care physicians that are available to evaluate you and make that determination whether you do have an allergy situation going on, or whether you have been infected with a viral type infection.
Again, these are all great tips this morning from Davies Community Hospital. Our guest, Jennifer Butler, on this week's Focus on the Community. So overall, we talked about wiping the hands, washing the hands, always wash the hands. You can never wash the hands enough. Keep the Lysol, the Clorox wipes handy. What about some over-the-counter medications? Of course, first and foremost, you should see your physician, your doctor of your choice. But over-the-counter medicines, are there some that are more effective in combating this than others?
Well, basically what you're treating with the flu is you're treating the symptoms. So whatever your physician decides is in your best interest to take, that would be a good to check with them first, especially if you have any other type of chronic medical conditions going on. Tylenol and ibuprofen are typically good for fever and general body aches. But the key there is go with what your physician or your healthcare provider recommends for you based on your normal health state.
And if we are talking fever, keep a monitor on that, because if it gets past a certain point, you need to do something and do something quick, right?
Well, and there again, yes, if the fever is unrelenting, even if you're using Tylenol or if you've used ibuprofen, then that could potentially be indicative of a more life-threatening situation going on. If fevers get too high, especially in children, they will tend to develop some seizure activity from the fever being too high. So just keep an eye on your family member or yourself, your children. Make sure that when they get that dose of Tylenol or ibuprofen or whatever's recommended, that that fever's coming down and staying down. If it doesn't, then definitely seek medical attention.
All right, Jennifer, again, cannot thank you enough for sharing a lot of valuable information with us this morning on preventing the flu virus and the bug from hitting your home. We're just about to run out of time, but before we let you go, just to sum it up, is there anything we haven't covered yet this morning that we really need to get out there for folks who might be battling this dreaded flu bug?
I think first and foremost, immunize. Secondly, hydrate. Third, make sure that you're nourishing your body with good, healthy foods, and wash those hands, keep those hands clean, and stay home if you're experiencing any signs and symptoms of the flu.
It too will pass.
Yes, it will.
You are not going to die, or hope not anyway.
Actually, the flu can be deadly. However, what we want to do is we want to catch that flu when it first gets a hold of somebody, so that we can intervene and we can make you feel better quicker, hopefully.
Well, Jennifer, again, thank you so much for sharing the information with us this week on Focus on the Community. We appreciate it. You're very knowledgeable of the topic. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, on hand at Davies Community Hospital to answer any questions you might have about the flu bug.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
No problem. I'm glad to do it. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming in. Focus on the Community this week, presented by First Federal Savings Bank, located in Washington. You can download a podcast of today's show by visiting our website at WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Dwayne Shake, inviting you to tune in each weekend as we focus on the community.